joy in serving Jesus. Amen. It's been a joy for me, although I find it difficult at times to be preaching, but thank God for you patient folks to bear with me. And so turn with me. We're going through this series in the cloud of witnesses. So we'll read one verse in Hebrews 11:32, and then we'll turn back to 1 Samuel and the last few verses of chapter 3 and some in chapter 4 and then some in chapter 7. And we will continue on in this series of the cloud of witnesses. So it's not so much the I've shared my testimony here before that before I was saved, I wanted to be like a Bible hero, a hero of the faith. And so typically Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith, of heroes of the faith. And that was as an unbeliever. I wanted to do great things for God, and even that God might even do something through me, but it was all about me. And praise God, he was able to work through that to the point where I understood, oh no, it's not about me. It's all about Christ and what he did for me on the cross of Calvary. And each one of these witnesses, they were witnesses of the fact of God's greatness and not about how God did use them in very amazing ways. But it's all about God. And so let's just, if you're able to stand with me, let's just stand as we read God's word. First in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets. And so then turn over back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and beginning at verse 19. So 1 Samuel 3:19. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And turn over with me, please, to chapter 7, and beginning in verse 10, chapter 7 of 1 Samuel. And in verse 10, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. They were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. So in other words, he was a circuit judge. He made that circuit there. And his return was to Ramah, and there was his house, and he judged Israel or there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please remain standing with me as we pray. Dear God, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee, to thy honor and glory, and to the edification of the church. And we pray that thou would help us to apply something we learned this day to our lives, that we could be have victory in our lives in the battles that we face personally, day to day. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Please be seated. And so, yes, we've gone through so many of these witnesses to God's greatness, and now we are with Samuel on the third part here. Time would fail me to tell of all these, and in this case, Samuel, so time does fail me. And so we can only just have snippets here. Although Brother Arlen said there's no rush. You can, and yes, but I'm just praying that God would direct me when we're finished this series, perhaps what book of the Bible we might go through. And it's just like they're all so good. But just to get an overview. So we're getting an overview of how great God is and the witnesses to his greatness. And so here we find that Samuel, as last time we said that God, you know, the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. So it wasn't like water that would fall to the ground and soak in and you couldn't, that it was unusable. The word of God was hit the target that it was intended for. And so it had already hit the target with Eli when Samuel got the word from God, and it was verified by another man of God, that Eli's family would suffer loss because Eli failed to discipline his children, Hophni and Phinehas. And so here, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. Shiloh. The name Shiloh is an adjective or an epithet of Messiah. First occurrence of the word Shiloh is in Genesis 49:10. And so that's a principle of hermeneutics, Bible interpretation is, you know, first mention. And so the first mention of Shiloh is in Genesis 49:10, where Jacob is giving blessings to his different children here. And for a blessing to Judah, he's saying in verse 10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And that's referring to the Messiah would come. And so all along, references, prophetic references to the Lord Jesus Christ, the messianic promise. And so the word itself means tranquil, secure, successful, to be happy, to be in safety. And that word of the Lord had come to Samuel. And verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to all Israel." And this, we believe, is, and we can see what the outcome of this is going to be. This is fulfilling the word of the Lord that came to Samuel. What we begin to see here, 4,000 men of Israel smitten, like slew, they were killed in battle. Now, when you read those kind of numbers, and we're going to read a number here in verse 10, 30,000. You know, we're witnessing a war going on in Ukraine, and that's where both sets of my grandparents came from, Ukraine, and so kind of hits home. And I just looked up today, you know, what are some of the estimates of the deaths there? I mean, when did that start? Last month? And they're talking, you know, maybe as high as 15,000 and talking about maybe 3,000 civilians in that number. And so both Russian and Ukrainian soldiers and civilians, wow. I mean, so that's happening today as we speak. And I mean, this is a place that, you know, I'm interested in because of the roots. But there's many conflict places around the world that are happening right now that we don't even hear about. And terrible death and suffering. Well, here the word of the Lord had come to Samuel, and this is the beginning of that fulfillment. Now, Israel has been what Israel went through. We, as you know, and now Israel has been set aside for a time. They will come to the forefront here in the near future, we believe. But they've been set aside for a time as the nation of Israel. Now, let's just do a little review again for those of you maybe that were not here. What about Israel? Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Okay, Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. How few? The fewest, because Abraham and Sarah were past childbearing. So I'd say that's like zero. Okay. And so by a miracle of God, Isaac was born. So not because they were a great nation, but he chose them. Why did he choose them? And the people get this wrong. They think they're so good. No. Well, God clearly tells them they're stiff-necked people. And so let that be a reminder to us. How good are we as a church of God? We're a stiff-necked people, really.
That's right.
I'm speaking on for myself, and I also know the verse that says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation provide a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So I know that temptations that I face, it's not uncommon, and so that's how we can preach. Because we know that we are all sinners by birth and by choice and by our action. Okay, so anyway, so in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord God hath cast them out from before thee. He's talking about those nations that God wanted to judge in Canaan. So after that God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, nor for the righteousness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore, this verse 6, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. What is our righteousness? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's by his blood that we have any entrance into the throne room of God. And so, but now, as newborn babes and as growing Christians and even mature Christians, what are we doing? We're reading God's word and we're finding out that God's will for my life is even my sanctification. And the first one on the list there is fornication. Abstain from fornication. It's really emphasized a lot. And just my heart breaks. This fellow came over and was his wife had left him. And that's happening among people who are professing Christians. So take heed lest ye, take heed lest he fall. You know, we all need to pray to God to be doing the right thing, and we won't have time to do the wrong thing. All right. So there's your positive twist there for the day. All right. Do the right thing. All right. And so here Samuel was doing the right thing. But what were the children of Israel doing? Well, now 4,000 of their men, they thought, well, okay, we're going out to destroy some of these Philistines. You know, doesn't God want us to go and kill these Philistines? Well, they went out on their own effort, and 4,000 of them were killed. Now, when the people, verse 3 of 1 Samuel 4, And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us this day before the Philistines? Blame God much?" Does that sound like Saul? Does that sound like Adam, the woman you gave me? Does that sound like me? Okay, we don't have to go too deep into my life, but it does. And they went out on their own, and so now they're blaming God for the failure. And so then they said, okay, now, what do I have in my notes here? I said, we were defeated, now let's get God involved. Okay, when all else fails, pray. No, let's make sure that we're the kind of believers that we pray without ceasing, that God would shed a blessing in your personal life, and then the life of your family, and the life of the church, and the life of your neighbors, and all that are around you. Pray without ceasing. But anyway, yeah, okay, we're defeated. Now let's go to God. Well, what did they do? Did they go to God? No, they said, let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Now, remember last time I emphasized it? What a shame, because you're going to read some more here. And they're calling the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord it. Verse 4. So the people went to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, remember the bad boys, Hophni and Phinehas, they were priests, but they were doing bad things. What were the bad things they were doing? The prophet that had come, he had said, now Eli was very, now this is in chapter 2, now Eli, in verse 22, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You know, men, blinder season, that's what a pastor, old pastor of mine used to say, blinder season, you know, summer, spring, and some women are not chaste, they're not, men, recognize that that's all intended to tempt for lust, and so but we find here that these fellows were priests, and that they were laying with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so Eli said unto them, why do you ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If a man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And so, here it is. They're taking this, they sent, so chapter 4, verse 4, the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great joy, so that the earth rang again. Wow, that sounds like exciting, right? There's some shouting, and the earth rang. Well, I can imagine the people saying, whoa, I was at that meeting. That was a tremendous charismatic meeting. Boy, oh boy, the earth just rang. Okay, but for the wrong reason. Remember when, who was it? Was it Moses and Joshua coming down? And Joshua was saying the sound of war? And no, Moses said, no, that's the sound of music. Well, bad music. And I'm sorry, go ahead. It might help.
I said it was a party time.
Yes. Party time.
Oh, yes. Yeah, bad music. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my. Wasn't that terrible? Okay. And so, this is bad. This is bad, great shouting. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this?" This is the Philistines. These are the bad people. These are the people that God wants to judge. And God had allowed them to have a victory over the children of Israel. So here's the Philistines. When they heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Now here, listen to what they say. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of it?" No. "Out of these mighty gods. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness." Now, mind you, remember, they're not believers, so they're calling, you know, the true God gods, but they certainly heard the testimony of the Egyptians and how the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of gods. And so then they said, "Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye may be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you." Ooh. Yeah. You know, they had failed to cast out all the ones that God had wanted them to cast out of the... In fact, they even made an agreement with the Gibeonites. Remember the Gibeonites pretended that they had come from a far country. They had moldy bread and they had worn out shoes. And they said, "Well, we come from a far, far country. And so we want to make an alliance with you." And so the children of Israel, without praying about it first, they went and made an alliance. And so now they're stuck with the Gibeonites. A man called me and he says, we were talking about engineering. And he says, I'm one of these Joshua chapter 7 guys, or chapter 10, whatever chapter it is. He's not a believer. Like, I don't know if I was witnessing to him or whatever. And he says, "Yeah, you go look it up." Well, he's a Gibeonite. And so, you know, the word of God is very pertinent to us today. We're talking, like, people are talking about Syria. You can't read in the Bible, you're talking about Syria for the same reasons. Now we're talking about Persia, Iran. All right. And so, shameful. It's a shame that here that God's people are calling the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord it. And these people are saying that's going to be the presence of God. And so then he says, "Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you." So there were now children of Israel who are servants of the Philistines. And isn't that how it is with our life? If we let the little sin in our life... Oh, well, that's just a little sin.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, then it comes to bite you. And, so this is the will of God for your life, even your sanctification. And then you could go and look at that list of things, and you can, you'll list, and you can relate to it. And God is working on me and you. All right. And so that's what they did. They went out, and God allowed them. You know, in verse 10, "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen." Ay, ay, ay. And, you know, you say, well, that's, you know, could the Bible be right on that? Well, you go look at secular history. That's the kind of, with swords, they're killing one another. Tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people dying. And that's what sin brings into the life. It's, okay, so then I've read people are saying, "Oh, what kind of a God do you follow? All the suffering in the world." Yes, man, by man, sin was brought into the world by Adam. Thank God, by one man, sin was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yes, God does care about us. We are in this situation by our own making, and yet there is deliverance. And so the Philistines, they killed 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Those bad priests, they were slain. Those ones that were laying around with women, they were supposed to be doing their priestly duty, and they were stealing from the offerings. They were stealing from the offerings. Those offerings were for the people to eat. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent. And you know what it means when it says the clothes are rent? Torn. His clothes were torn. And did that with being in quite in grief. So his clothes rent and with the earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. He knew that it was in the wrong place, carried away. And when the men came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the men came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. An old man and heavy. And so, let it not be said of us that said of the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, the Laodicean church saying, Jesus is talking about the Laodicean church, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." And so, may it be that we're not arrogant and saying that it's our righteousness. No, we depend on God's righteousness by the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And Jesus said, "It is finished." He had paid the price for all mankind. Now, of course, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, because in God's economy, God is outside of creation. And so when God decrees, that's as good as done. But in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a woman under the law and shed his blood for our sins. And so, yes, don't be like Hophni and Phinehas. As a young person, you can be like Samuel. And remember, when he first came to the temple, he did not know the Lord. That's what we read. Remember when we were reading about Samuel? But he soon did know the Lord. And God became his Savior. and he trusted in God. Now, unfortunately, we'll hear times when he failed, but he was faithful in what God had called him to do. And he became a great witness to the goodness of God. Now, just in closing, and we'll be going on some more with Samuel. But just in closing here in the end of chapter 4, and his daughter, that's Eli's daughter, and his daughter-in-law, Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. Verse 21, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." And so Ichabod, I remember eating bubble gum and those little cartoons in there. Little, you could hardly read them because it's so small. And that one of the characters was Ichabod, a fool. The glory had gone. Glory had gone from him. That's what the name of the meaning. Where is the glory? Or the glory is departed. She named her son that, recognizing what a terrible thing that they were going to use God rather than be used of God. May it be that your prayer, you praying to God would be, "God, use me. I'm not using you as a lucky charm. I believe that you are the creator of all things. I believe that you sent your own dear son to die in my place. I believe that it's available, a free gift, no strings attached." And may God bless you as you seek to serve him. All right, may God go with us. Let's just bow for a word of prayer as we close. Dear God, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. And we pray that we would not be a fool like these Hophni and Phinehas, that caused that thy glory would depart from Israel, rather than reprimanding the children of Israel, they went along with it. And dear God, even the lost could see that something was wrong, and because they knew the testimony of thy greatness and what you had done in Egypt to deliver thy children, even though at times they murmured, and yet, dear God, you are faithful. And so we believe that even with us, we do understand that as believers, we do sin from time to time, and we just are ashamed of that, dear God. But we just pray that you will continue to, as you have promised, that those you love, that you will chasten. And so we just pray that we would heed thy chastening and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To that end, we pray. Amen.